Welcome to the podcast of St. Basil the Great Catholic Church in Brecksville, Ohio, with homilies, talks, and interviews relevant to your Catholic faith. God bless you and enjoy.
That reading was long. Just getting your muscles ready for Palm Sunday where we do the Passion reading. Every year we start revving up, so need to adjust a few of our judgment, how long things should last. We got to expand a little bit, getting ready. And every so often, what we need to do is we need to take a deep dive into the biblical worldview in order for a particular story to really pop. And that's what I want to do tonight with you, is I want to walk us through quite a lot of the biblical worldview so you can see how essential this story is. And then you can actually begin to find yourself in the story and hopefully actually experience the Lord speaking to you as well. So let's begin. In the first book of the Bible, the whole story of humanity opens up with a marriage. Marriage of Adam and Eve. They're called to become one. It's a union of masculinity and femininity. It's a beautiful marriage that is given the blessing of fertility and joy and intimacy. And it bears the dignity of God looking upon this and saying, "This is my image in the world." Then if you go to the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelations, we see heaven opened up and there's another marriage. There's another union. It's the Lamb. It's called the Wedding Feast of the Lamb. And the bride in this heavenly banquet is the church. And so you have this earthly marriage as the story of humanity begins. And then the culmination, the high point of heaven, is another marriage, a wedding feast. So you have these bookends of the sacred scripture. Right in the center of the Catholic Bible, and I say that because we have more books, the Protestants in their history edited a few out, so it's not directly in the center, but in the center of the Catholic Bible, you have a book called the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs. It's the only book of the Bible where God's name is never even mentioned once. But it's a love story of the desire and attraction of a husband and wife and the joy and beauty of intimacy that goes upon it. It's also the book that in our tradition, most mystics and saints point to for the image and language to understand how Jesus and someone can live so close and so beautifully. Then if you continue to go through the prophets of the Old Testament, most of the prophets employ spousal imagery to explain God's relationship to Israel. In fact, often speaking of Israel when they are unfaithful to the covenant, saying it's as if they're being adulterous, they'll say. And then they talk about how God will lead Israel into the desert, speaking tenderly to the unfaithful bride, drawing her back in the joy of repair and reconciliation in granting betrothal again. This is all throughout the Old Testament. This Sunday, we're in the Gospel of John. And in the chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, we learn that Jesus is the Lamb of God that we heard about in heaven. So the wedding feast of the Lamb, this is Jesus. In chapter 2 of the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus performs his first miracle at a wedding feast. See, once again, if you don't know the whole biblical story, you miss out on some of the pop, some of the expression, the revelation of God. He does his first miracle at a wedding feast, manifesting his identity and his mission in the context of a union between man and woman, because in his own person, Jesus is the union of humanity and divinity, the marriage of God and humanity, and he offers it to everyone who will come to him and say yes to be in union with Jesus. Jesus offers this intimacy with God through his own self for everyone who will love him above all things and in all things. People who put Jesus first are invited into this level of union, not with another creature, but with the Creator, with the Infinite One. And then at the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 19, we're not doing everything, don't worry. Chapter 19, in the Gospel of John, on the cross, Jesus is dying, and he says in English, it is finished. But in Latin, it's consummatum est. It is consummated. Once again, spousal imagery, marriage intimacy, this what husband and wife are meant to speak is the language of God's desires of intimacy with all of us. He wants to share his own divine life with you and me by us joining into union with Jesus, and through him, we're drawn up into the joy and ecstasy of God. Now, all of that is in place for us to enter into the gospel today. John chapter 4. What do we have? Jesus, the divine bridegroom. And then we have a woman. And a woman who has taken her desires for fulfillment and love to five other husbands. And now her current person isn't her husband. And we have Jesus speaking to a woman who has given her life to many and not found the fulfillment she's looking for. And he speaks to her first on one level of this well. And of course, the well is an image for desert people of peace, of satisfying a thirst. It's a place you go to for fulfillment, but it's a place you come back to again and again and again and again, because it never seems to satisfy deeply enough. And as she goes to be satisfied, she meets Jesus, the one that the whole human story revolves around. And he talks to her about water and captures her attention and ends up saying, you know, if you let my living water into you, you'd never thirst again. Now, for you and I, we go, well, that sounds kind of neat. But what we miss is that in first century Jewish men and women, living water was a specific kind of water. It was the water, the ritual bath that a bride would bathe in the night before her marriage. They didn't have showers like we do. They didn't shower every day. So if you're going to take a bath the day before your marriage and union, it's a good time to do it. It was a ritual bath known as living waters, and it bathed her and prepared her for union, for intimacy. So when Jesus speaks to her, if you asked, I would give you living waters. Do we see once again this imagery of what he's saying to her is, I would make you whole and clean, capable and ready for union and intimacy. And she goes, gimme, 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 gimme. I want, right? She says, please give me this water. And he goes, okay, go get your husband. And you can feel in that moment, just everything going, ugh. I thought I could get all the goods without having to talk about the stuff. How many times I've done it and people I've worked with have tried to come to God and to Jesus, say, I'm going to be holy now. I'm going to be one of those Jesus-y people. I went on a retreat, or I went to a powerful mission, or I listened to a podcast and read a book, and it's going to be great, only for our whole history and story to come crashing down upon us because we thought we could just delete it and start over. And Jesus goes, let's talk about those places in your life. And she's like, yeah, I don't want to do that. But you see, she thinks her story disqualifies her for the gift. Her brokenness, her mistakes, while explicit, they could be any of ours, whether big or small, that we listen to as a source of shame, telling us we don't deserve, we're not allowed, we can't receive the healing waters, the healing of Jesus. We're not allowed to have it because we haven't been perfect. We've been bad, whether in the past or on the way here to Mass tonight. We've done things we're not proud of. And so we couldn't possibly be the one that Jesus wants to restore and set free. And so we disqualify ourselves. But see, that's precisely the point, is that's the place. From that place of weakness, from imperfection, from brokenness, it's that place that Jesus wants to offer his gift to. It's from that place in your heart, your body, your mind, your memory, your story. It's right there that he wants to speak into and work from. The place that makes you feel insecure, inadequate, not enough, unfinished, imperfect. It's right there that he wants to begin the relationship with you. Not with a hammer, but with reverence, with care, with all the love that he offers a beloved, someone he's willing to die for. So what about us? Well, you see, this water imagery shouldn't surprise us that it turns into baptism. Baptism is the bath that cleanses us to prepare us for union, where? In the Eucharist. Our sacraments are the embodiment of the story. Baptism, but then also confession. Confession is a deepening and renewing of the forgiveness of God as we continue to make a mess of things. And he forgives us, not just so we can go around whistling, hey, great, life is great now, I went to confession. But confession is meant to lead us to deeper experiences of union in the most blessed sacrament. St. Philip Neri, a great reformer of the church in Italy, in Rome, used to tell people, if you're not getting a lot out of the Eucharist, you probably need to make a good confession first. He's not trying to beat people down. He's just saying, you need the living waters before the joys of the marital union. One leads to the other. And so what happens when this begins to take place, where we begin to really open up and let Jesus speak into the places that we are busy hiding, the fruit of this is we become evangelizers. Big churchy word that means we go around telling the good news. This woman went into her town and said, I've met a man who told me everything I've ever done. Do you know what her town people probably thought? Yeah, we do the same to you. We constantly tell you how much you've made a problem of your life. Her town people told her everything she's ever done, but they did it with a finger wagging and condemning. They did it to reduce and dismiss. Jesus told her everything she ever did to draw her in and heal and transform so that she was ready for union. This brought such great joy and freedom, she told others, and they could see in her eyes and in her freedom that new life is possible. Hope is possible. He's here. There's a power at work in the world that can restore us and fulfill our deepest longings. And they all came to see Jesus. If we want family members, co-workers, friends, our country to become quote unquote better, perhaps it needs to start with us taking the place of this woman. Letting the power of confession and the baptismal waters touch again deep places of need to be set free so our longings for life, love, adventure, and hope can be met in the Eucharist. And then we can go out into the town, whether it's social media or in real life, and proclaim, I have found someone who's told me everything. My life is different. It means everything. I know what you're looking for. I was seeking the same things. We're all made of the same stuff. Come and find the one who can satisfy. And so tonight, before we continue with Mass, I'm going to invite you to ask the Lord, Lord, where in my life do you want to speak? What am I keeping from you? What am I kind of dismissing and saying, oh, I dealt with that years ago, or, oh, that's not that big of a deal, or, where am I editing, Jesus? And where do you want to go? So that maybe today when you come forward for the Eucharist, you can imagine holding that place up. So as Jesus offers you union, the healing power of his death and resurrection in the Eucharist can bathe you and draw you closer so that maybe tonight you get to taste a little bit of the glory that waits for us all in heaven, the great wedding feast. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this audio from our parish. You can find other homilies, talks, and interviews at our website, basilthegreat.org, or by subscribing to this podcast in your favorite app. Just search for St. Basil Catholic Church, Brecksville. St. Basil the Great, pray for us.